All he's got is a photograph. And realizes you're not coming back anymore. That was Richard Starkey, a.k.a. Ringo Starr, on your radio friend. It is 12 minutes until 10 o'clock on a tremendous Tuesday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, along with my tag team partner on these community conversations, Mr. Mark Eichhorst. And he is the intermediator from beautiful Nacogdoches, Texas. Please welcome back to WRJN, Mr. Chris Harrington. Good morning, Mr. Chris.
Good morning, Mr. Glenn. How are you doing today?
Chris, I have no complaints, but thank you for caring enough to ask. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing great. Things are rolling forward.
Did you hear that segment before you came on?
I did.
With Ralph, who's he just came into the radio station for a tour.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Gilligan's Island for a three-day tour.
How old is he?
65.
Okay.
Now, he has lived to see a lot of evolution in our society, as
sure.
Mark has, as the great Tom Carco has, as yours truly has. And when you travel, as I do and as I did significantly last week, and me being me, I like to talk to people and meet people and get their perspective. I met a guy who had never been on an airplane before from Pennsylvania. He sat next to me on the trip from Charlotte to Tampa. And he was a former coal miner, thought that things were getting absolutely worse in our country. I met a young woman who was a volleyball player at the University of Ohio. I sat down and had a cup of coffee with her. She thought that things in our society were getting worse. So here you have two people from diametrically different generations, both thinking that things are going to hell in a handbasket. What is it about the human psyche that causes us, against all data, against all history, to think that things are getting worse? What is that?
So why are we so easily given over to the negative?
Yeah.
Why is that such an easy reach? It is definitely the low-hanging fruit. I think if we look at how memory works, those things that are traumatic, we remember them very well. Those things that are low-key, like what you had for breakfast last Tuesday, may not register at all. Some people with an eidetic memory probably remember everything. But for the vast majority of us, only those things that are really heavy-duty stick, even positive or negative. And I think that we're more likely to remember things that hurt, pain.
The one thing we do know is that the most human tendency that we have is to be negative. It takes no work at all to be negative. But it does take tremendous concentration and focus to be positive on purpose. I've got a good friend on Facebook named Bruce Fowler, who's actually been on this program, who he refuses on Facebook to be negative at all. And
that takes
tremendous discipline.
It does.
And he used to be, by his own account, a very negative, dour person.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were raising our six kids, I recognized that the most natural thing for me as a parent to do was to correct my children, to tell them no. And so I literally had to train myself as a father to focus on the positive. And I came up with a reinforcement program that, for lack of time right now, I'm not going to talk about. But I had to train myself to catch my kids doing good. What are ways that people out there, the beautiful humans that are listening, could start taking on a more positive attitude to see the glass at least half full versus half empty?
Well, I think a really good step is to understand what is happening. What's the process from the very beginning, okay? And people talk about ego a lot, but in terms of really understanding it in the general public, I think that maybe we could do with an update. And so an easy way to look at ego is, ego is that part of your mind that says, I'm me, I'm separate, I'm not anybody else, I'm an other, all right? So it has to then establish ways, and we've been talking about this in some ways a lot during the last couple of sessions, but one way to look at it is that ego has to establish itself as being an other in the first place. I'm me. I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not. And so it has to establish that. And it does that by somehow pushing out. And when it pushes out, it identifies or ostracizes or isolates somebody that's not them. And they use shame and bullying and guilt and self-identity or some kind of otherness program. And once they've done that, it's pretty easy then to keep establishing for other people that they need to keep that wall up, you know. Robert Frost is often misquoted as having said that good fences make good neighbors, but he said, my neighbor says that. I don't say that. He says that. I'm quoting my neighbor. What I say is that, you know, something there is that does not love a wall. And I think that if we look at the natural instinct of people under duress, they go one of two ways, either self-preservation or preservation of the species. And I think that that's what we're fighting against, is there's an onslaught of information that says to us, you deserve this, it's you by yourself, and it's you against the world, and it's everybody coming down on you. And so that, and it's the media, and it's movies, and it's, you know, relationships are going through all kinds of turmoil, and it really gets down to the more we act like we're together and that we're one and that we're all working on the same page towards the same goal and destination, the better things actually appear to us.
You know,
the more we look at it as the opposite of that, which is that we're all by ourselves and it's us against the world and those guys are out to get me, the more paranoid we sound.
This, and the, not only that we sound, but that we actually are.
Yes.
This is amazing because this morning on Morning Joe, they had a gentleman, I can't recall his name offhand, I didn't know I was going to be talking about him, but he talked about exactly what you just talked about. And he does a lot of work with veterans and post-traumatic stress.
Sure.
And he said that in certain societies that are more tribal, like, for example, the very much embattled and warfare mentality Native Americans had almost no post-traumatic stress because they were part of a bigger identity.
Right.
In Israel, everybody has to be part of the military. They have almost no post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was his hypothesis that it's not the trauma, as significant it is as these men and women go through, it's that they come back to a society here in the United States that's disjointed. And he pointed out, and this we again, we know this statistically, that after 9/11, violence rates went down in the United States, divorce rates went down in the United States because we were all in it, even if just for a moment, together. And the reality is that people could understand that we really truly are one, that we truly are in it together, that there probably would be less depression and certainly less post-traumatic stress.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, our country seems to be split along political lines, religious lines, racial lines, all these different things that are used to pry people apart on all these different levels. And I think that when people generally look at that, they say we must be flying apart. You know, that's the proof. One way to get around that, you were asking for ways that you could get around this. I think one thing to do is to ask yourself, am I getting all my news and media from a single source? And it's about variety. Genetically, we know that variety will assist us in surviving into the future. And I think the same thing is also true mentally, that we follow a pattern of, if I'm a hammer looking for a nail, all right, then I have to look at the world as a hammer, and I've got to see the world as a nail, and I got to nail everything in sight. Whereas if I look at myself as multidimensional with the Batman belt, and I've got all these different tools and all these different skills, well, then I can make different choices, and a lot of things may seem, instead of right or wrong, they might seem more or less effective to me, and so I'm busy seeing how people are working towards my own benefit by virtue of the fact that they're showing me either what to do or what not to do. So I want to see the variety of life and understand things multidimensionally.
And that's one of the reasons that I watch MSNBC and CNN and ABC and CBS and Fox News and listen to NPR and, of course, the great Tom Carco. You can't have a better news diet than that. This is Glenn
right,
Klein
exactly.
Along with Mark Eichhorst in the studio. He is the intermediator, Chris Harrington, on a tremendous Tuesday morning.
Glenn, you know me. You would consider me a positive person, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I mean, my standard answer when you ask me how I am every day, not only to you but everybody, I always say I'm blessed. And I say that for two reasons, to remind myself and let other people know who know me and know I have struggles that I still consider myself blessed. One of the things I do is when I wake up in the morning, I try to come up with 10 blessings that I've been blessed with recently each day. And I try to, some of those don't change, but I try to change some of them every day. Then at the end of the day, before I go to sleep, I think of three things that went right that day. And that's one of the things that really helps me stay in the positive. You know, we work for a radio company whose motto is stay local, stay positive. And that's one of the things that helps me be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, Chris, you're a big proponent of making lists.
Big time. I've got a series of lists sitting in front of me right this minute. That's right.
What's on your list right now?
Well, first off, this morning, you know, everything that we wanted to talk about. But also, I'm going through my own reinvention thing as far as bringing myself back into my art. So I've gone through a checklist of all the things I need to buy. I've created an art studio, and then I made a gallery, and now I've got a venue to be able to paint in public. So I'm working through my list of all the things I need to do in order to, you know, get myself set up.
You talked about the fact that our politics is really a politics of divisiveness, and
right.
Both sides are guilty of it. But the reality is, in our society, as we had Raft Hunsell in here before, who is an African-American man and has seen tremendous progress in our society. Yes, there's a long way to go, but the fact that in the last, let's just say, 100-plus years, women have gotten the right to vote, that we've had the civil rights movement, now we have the gay rights movement. Gay and lesbian people are literally equal members of society, and we have an administration. I don't agree with how they did it, but they're defending trans people now. This is incredible progress in manifesting the equality that is the truth about all beautiful humans.
This is going to sound very strange coming from me, all right? But I really believe in the free market system. That is, if you give people an opportunity to make a choice, eventually the pain of making bad choices will create the necessity, because failure is where you learn, will create the necessity for them to outsmart the people that are outsmarting them, and then they'll make better choices, and then it'll work out. So there may be a lot of pain involved, but I think that's part of the system, is that if you allow people the process of working through it, eventually they'll straighten things out. And I think that is where we're going, is that democracy is the people facing off with the systems involved in order to create equality for all.
Well, I cannot imagine the amount of times I've heard you say to people who want to change, and when is change going to happen? And I'm paraphrasing here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard you say on so many occasions, you'll be ready to make a change when you're tired of the pain.
That's right. That's right. You know, some of this, though, is it's statistics are being used all these different ways. You know, every idea that you see in front of you, it's all an idea in the marketplace. Everything is being sold to you, whether it's on the right or on the left or centrist or whoever it is that's coming up with anything. They all have some pain that they're working through, and they also have some gain that they're attempting to gather for themselves. And I think that if you see the system at large, you'll see that people use statistics any way that they want. But one of the things, I was in the education game for 33 years, one of the things I heard a lot was education's getting worse. Oh, my God, they're going down the tubes, and it's really terrible. Look at how many kids are failing, okay? But year after year, I taught more and more kids who had never, ever had a family member graduate from high school. In fact, what had happened was that the educational system, through the Census Bureau, had reached out further and further, tendrilled out into the wilds, so they finally got to the Appalachians, and they finally got to the backwoods of East Texas, and every place that they could go, and they grabbed all those kids in order to get funding for the school, and at the same time, they brought people in who had never had a family member graduate from high school. Mm. Maybe they'd never been beyond third or fourth grade.
Yeah.
And so what had happened is we've now brought in almost, I don't know what the percentage would be. 95% of all the kids in America have gone to some form of school, or at least had to attend to some kind of informal homeschooling. But I would say that what's happened is that we brought in all the kids. Well, if you bring in all the kids, there are going to be some failings, and it's going to take several generations for people to catch up educationally. But we're not doing worse. We're reaching more people. So the number of failings that we have is really reflective of the process that we're going through. Ask us in 100 years with exactly the same system, and what you'll find is that we're reaching not only more and more people, but we're actually meeting more and more very specific needs for people who have no other way of doing that.
He is the intermediary. He is Chris Harrington from Nacogdoches, Texas. Boy, it must have been a trip to have you as a teacher, my friend.
Big time. A lot of my friends on Facebook are ex-students.
Well, thanks a lot for teaching us and mediating with us on this Tuesday morning.
All right, enjoy yourself.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
WRJN covers this wonderful world at 10:03.
Top TSA official out, Cosby in court. I'm Evan Haining. Long airport security lines and angry passengers aren't the only problems TSA has.